I've been getting some questions about baptism, and so I thought, well, what do we believe? You know, and what does it mean? So I thought today we'd look at baptism. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I got to tell you a quick little story. This happened to me. I was teaching Sunday school in Safford, Arizona. And Safford had a little bit different Sunday school. We met together and called a multi-generation Sunday school. So we had everybody from three-year-olds up to, I think our oldest member was 90 years old, all in the same Sunday school class. Made for some interesting discussions. And that day I was talking about baptism. And I said, why are we baptized? And this little boy, probably 4 years old, raises his hands. And I said, okay, why are we baptized? Because my grandpa made me do it. Out of the mouth of babes. But you know, so many of us, even as adults, don't really understand what baptism is. So today we're going to look at that. But the first thing is, if you notice, I called this the sacrament of holy baptism. But what is a sacrament? Come on, Roman Catholics. You should be able to tell me.
A rite.
A rite. Okay, what else?
A ceremony.
I can't hear you.
Ceremony.
What did you say? A ritual. Okay. Jean?
All of the above.
All of the above. I think what we have to do is go back to the original Greek. A sacrament is the original Greek word, mysterium. Mystery. What do you think sacrament means? It's the Latin word for mystery. So what is a sacrament? What's a mystery? Why? Because God said, do we fully understand it? No. But we know at the time of our baptism, the Holy Spirit enters us. And it rests in our heart. And if you notice, we did Psalm 51 today, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew the right spirit within me. So it's one of the things that God thinks is very important, isn't it? And to start his ministry, and we're going to talk about this in more depth later, what did Jesus do? He got baptized. Now, I understand some of you haven't been. And that's okay. Well, why is it okay, too? Well, let's talk about this. How can you be baptized? How many of you know that the Bible states three ways?
Water.
Okay, Pastor Tony raised it. Water. What else? Holy Spirit. Okay, that's what did our reading call that today? He will come again to baptize you with
fire.
Okay, fire is number two. So we have water, Holy Spirit, fire. We listen one. The Word of God. A sacrament has to be the Word of God connected with some kind of a visible process. Excuse me. So in baptism, it's the Word of God with the water. Okay. Now, to baptize means to immerse. How many of you were immersed in baptism? Two of you. Oh, you heathens, you.
I got sprinkled.
Well, I got sprinkled too, you know. But the thing is, Luther liked the idea of immersion. In fact, my old church in Texas, we had this beautiful little pond out behind the church, and we had built a baptismal area in it, had white railings around it, had a raised area, and everybody in the church told the pastor at that time, Pastor, you don't want to do this. Oh, yeah, we're going to do this. I mean, we can do immersion baptism. So they got this done. First time they went out and baptized, brought them back. Pastor said, you know, I kept on getting hit by a bunch of things. And they said, Pastor, we're trying to tell you, those are the water moccasins. So it was a beautiful baptismal area that we never used. Part of the reason. But baptism can have water in the Word. All right, what's the important part of that? Is it the water or is it the Word? The Word of God. All right, so how much water do you need?
Not much,
if not none. With me? I'm going to tell you another story, because if Jesus could teach by using parables, can I do that? Yes. Okay, because at least it doesn't put you to sleep. All right. I don't know if I've told this to you. I put this in my church in Texas and Alabama. When I was on my vicarage year, I taught and preached at what was called the Edge House, which is the Pan-Lutheran group house at the University of Cincinnati. And it was to non-Lutheran graduate or non-Christian graduate students. So these were students from India, China, Vietnam, Japan, who weren't Christian. Now, of course, being like a good Lutheran, what do you do to get them there? Food. We did. We always had a big dinner afterwards. I started out preaching there once every 2 months, and by the time we finished that year, I was there every 2 weeks. And why? Because I teach. Okay, and that's part of the thing, too. In 2 Timothy, which are the instructions for a pastor, it says you got to be a didaskalos in Greek. That's a teacher. Okay, and in a minute, we're going to go into why I spend so much time doing that, too. But anyway, we had this girl from Vietnam who was a postdoc student in nanotechnology. She already had a doctorate. She's working on a second one. Postdoc. This was one smart girl. And we're doing the creed of all things. And during the middle of the creed, she collapses on the floor. And you know, you talk about seeing somebody totally collapsed in grief. She was. I mean, she had no control of her body. She was just laying there, just sobbing. And so we stopped the creed, and I said, I can't even remember her name now. I said, what's wrong? And she said, I'm going to be baptized. And I said, what's going on? Well, I called my dad and told him that I'm a Christian. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And he says, you know, if you get baptized, you can't come home again. So she'd have to give up her citizenship in Vietnam. And I said, you and I have to talk. And I said, everybody sit down. And we looked at this two readings in Acts 2 and Acts 4. Now, we heard the Acts 2 this morning, didn't we? And what did Acts 2 say? And 3,000 souls came to him and were baptized. Now, stop and think about this for a second. There's how many apostles? 12. And you got 3,000 people you have to baptize. If you figure it out, it's about 12 hours if you give them a couple, 3 minutes apiece. Okay. Now, if you're preaching to them and getting the word to them, where do you have the time to do that? So you think they immersed everybody? No. That's why we sprinkle. Okay. Now, I'm going to read you something else. This is from Acts 4. You got a question? Comment?
Just made a statement.
Okay. Now behave. Word. Peter and John before the council. And this is right at the beginning of Acts 4. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in the custody until the next day, for it was already evening. Listen. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. All right, now stop and think about that for a second. It's like the feeding of the 5,000 on the Sermon on the Mount, bread and fishes. The number of men. All right, in Hebrew, you always talk about the number of men. You didn't put the number of women or the number of children into it. So if you've got 5,000 men, how many people do you really have believing at this point? 10,000, 15,000. All right. How are 12 people, especially when they're in jail, going to baptize 15,000 people? Yeah. That's a lot of fire hose, folks. We'll just do it that way. But you see what I'm getting at?
Make it rain.
But do you see what I'm talking about on this? The Bible tells us this stuff. How many times have you all seen this in there before? Pastor Tony's there going like this. Okay, but you see what I'm getting at? So when we're looking at this, baptism is important. But baptism isn't just one thing. You with me? But what is important in baptism is making that, I don't want to say decision, because it's not that, but it's standing up for Jesus and for your beliefs. You with me? All right. Many of us were baptized as children, and you were baptized into, what were you when you baptized?
Wesleyan.
Okay, Methodist, right? Or, okay. How many of you were Baptist? I know you were. When were you baptized?
I was actually baptized in the Lutheran Church.
And how old were you?
I was in my early 30s.
Early 30s. All right, yeah.
My denomination, adult Baptist, is normal. And normally, any kind of, well, a child will come forward.
Yeah, there's a term for that. It's believer's baptism, but there's a fancier term for that. No, not dedication. Say it again.
Age of
accountability. Thank you, Priscilla. That's what it is.
But
Jeff.
What is that age? What is that age of accountability?
When you feel you're ready. Okay.
So it varies.
It varies. All right, but now look at it this way. When you were baptized, we know that the Holy Spirit entered the heart of the baby, right? Does the Lutheran Church have the age of accountability?
Confirmation.
You know, we can call it that. What are you doing in confirmation? You're standing up and affirming what happened to you when you were a baby. What's the difference between that and baptism? The verbiage is exactly the same, except you're saying it and not your folks for it. You with me? All right, so we all believe the same things. We call it differently. One of the things when I was in the seminary, I think I've told this to you, but it's valid here. Prof put it together. It was in pastoral theology. He said, all right, you're going to be Lutheran pastors. He split us in half. All right, you folks prove infant baptism. You folks prove the age of accountability. Go to our class. Guess what? It's all in the Bible. Both types of baptism. So if somebody walks into your church and says, well, I don't want my baby baptized yet because we believe in that. Am I going to stand there? Man, we believe that. You got to do this. What does Scripture say? It says both ways. It's by the what of God?
Grace.
You with me? It's by the grace of God. Okay. We had I think I told you this story too, but I'm going to do it again. Mother, baby. Baby's born. Lutheran, taking the baby to the church to be baptized, have an accident. Both are killed. Which way is the baby going? Up or down? Why? It's not baptized. By the
grace.
See why we say by grace alone? Okay. So is the baby baptized through the word? Does the baby understand it? No. Does that make the word any less efficient? No. That's why we say, you know, grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone, the word. That's why it's so important to us. Now I better see where I am. Finally, fire. And this is what we had today. While standing with him, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Were they baptized with water? Aren't they baptized?
Yes.
Baptized by the word and by the
fire,
the Holy Spirit. Okay, so why do we put the emphasis on baptism with water? Why is it so important? It's not symbolic. It's what Jesus got. You know, here is God. Who's the one who should be doing the baptism, right? Okay. He goes to John and says, I want you to baptize me. And John says, hey, wait a second, you should be baptizing me. No, you need to baptize me. Now, if Jesus thinks it's that important, is it important for us?
Yes.
Okay, now look at this for a second. When Jesus is baptized, what happens? And a voice from heaven said what? This is my son with whom I'm well pleased. All right, so if it's important for Jesus, should it be important for us? All right, now here's what I suggest. If you've been baptized by the Word or by the Holy Spirit, but have not gone through the real baptism, consider it like a confirmation, where you come up and you publicly state that you're for Jesus. Now, especially for you folks that grew up in more of a fundamental background, does that sound familiar? Yes. Is it any different for us? No. You know, and that's the thing. We start looking at this. If it's in the Bible, is it true?
Yes.
Yes. Do we follow what's in the Bible? Yes. Now, I've been asked not to announce that if you are baptized, because some of us have been baptized in different ways. That's okay. But I will do that if I have a visitor who I don't know about. Why? 1 Corinthians 11. What happens if you go to the table or do a sacrament and you're not worthy? You can die. Do we believe that? The scripture says it. Is it true? Do we fully understand it?
No.
If you want to understand that, it's Lord's Supper, but go read 1 Corinthians 10 and 1 Corinthians 11. I think you'd be a little bit surprised by what's in there. Okay? It's going with the right kind of heart. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew the right spirit within me. Okay, it keeps on coming back to the same things again, right? There's not one thing today. I'm going to go get the book. Actually, I'm going to get two books. Oh, I must have picked up the other one. Because I had the Book of Comfort. I bring in another time for you. But when I talk about this stuff, you know, I'm a good pastor. Do I know everything? No. I look it up. This sermon today is coming out of this book. How many of you folks been Lutheran all your lives didn't know what I'm talking about today? But you see, we compartmentalize. We look at it one way. Oh, it's got to be this way. Does the Bible tell us otherwise? Yes. Are they just as valid? Yes. All right, but one of the things that's very important in the books is the second part of that, if you believe that Jesus is present in the meal. I got to blow my nose.
My nose runs, my feet smell, I'm real upset. Sorry about that.
We believe that Jesus is present in the meal. Some of our Christian brothers and sisters don't. Because Calvin couldn't wrap his head around the idea that during communion that Jesus could be in every church because he's a man. Well, is Jesus a man or is he a God? Yes. Yes. But where's he sitting? Right hand of God. So Calvin believed that when we go to communion, it's symbolic because we go there and our spirit leaves our body, goes up to heaven, and communes with Jesus up there. But yet in Matthew 16 or 26, where we look at the Lord's Supper, it says from Jesus, this is my body, this is my blood. I think if Jesus is saying it, he probably knows what he's talking about. But that's getting us off the subject of baptism. How many of you are learning something today? How many of you are offended by what I'm preaching on? I didn't think you would be. Okay. But what I'm preaching on today is just as important. All right, so here comes the really thing. Why is this important to me as a pastor? Beth was over, and we I said that the other day, both of you, I got responses back. But Bev Sisko came over, and we had talked the other day, and my certificate of ordination is hanging on the wall. I am ordained in the LCMC, not the ELCA or the Missouri Synod. Okay, that means something important. How many of you have been through an ordination service and seen somebody ordained? Four of you. Okay. As a pastor is given vows that he vows to do. Let me tell you what my vows were. This is taken from my ordination service. First one, do you promise that you will perform the duties of your office in accordance with these confessions? Wish I had it because I could hold it up. And that all your preaching and teaching and your administration of the sacraments will be in conformity with Holy Scripture and these confessions. Am I doing that? Okay. Will you faithfully instruct both young and old in the chief articles of Christian doctrine? Of course, we don't have anybody old here, right? Am I doing that? Yes. Will you forgive the sins of those who repent and you promise never to divulge the sins confessed to you? Am I doing that? Have I told many of you when you ask me a question, I'm sorry, I can't talk about that? Okay? Because that's my job. How many of you read Shoe this week in the funny papers? Oh, there's a great one. The pastor's standing there, do you repent? And the guy in Shoe looks at him, he says, well, don't I have to pent first? Isn't that great? You know, we gotta laugh here a little bit, it's okay.
Now you gotta parse out repent.
Huh?
Now you've gotta parse out repent and explain what he's talking about.
Yeah, that's one for another day. Will you minister faithfully to the sick and dying? Yes, do I do that? Okay. Will you demonstrate to the church a constant and ready ministry centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Yes. Will you admonish and encourage the people to a lively confidence in Christ and in holy living? Yes. And finally, will you honor and adorn the office of the holy ministry with a holy life? Hopefully, yes. You'd have to ask Peggy about that. Will you be diligent in the study of Holy Scripture and the confessions? Yes. Will you be constant in prayer for those under your pastoral care? Yes. And after asking these nine questions, the pastor answers, I know the Lord helping me through the power and grace of His Holy Spirit. Amen. Folks, the ELCA vows are not like that at all. They're nondescript. What problem has that caused? Now think about this for a minute. What happens is, what if you begin to equivocate on the Bible? Well, I believe that this is important, but that's not. Okay, if we do that, are those arrows coming from God to us or from us to God? Okay, remember I've been preaching about that. So there's a problem there if they're coming from us to God, aren't they? Okay, so if, Bob, I'm going to use you for an example. Okay. Bob, I believe this. Tell me you don't. We have a dichotomy here. In other words, we're trying to put that square peg in a round hole. All right, for him, that's not true. For me, it is. I cannot by my own reason or strength. Well, if that's the case, what do? We go back to the book, which is the Bible, and what the Bible says we do. Is it up to us to change the Bible for what we like? Well, I don't believe in that. All right, show me in Scripture where it is. Well, I don't know. I just don't believe that. That means that we have a pastor who hasn't done his job in teaching. Am I teaching today?
Yes.
Is it important? Yes. But what's the most important thing I'm going to teach on today? Jesus Christ. You know, we've talked about that all the way. You know, I go back to the cross and what we do. This is why we do this. And this is why we take a stand. That's why Luther took that stand 500 years ago and saying the Bible says this. It's not what we think, it's what he thinks. You with me? Isn't that what we want to do? Isn't that my job as a pastor? Okay, is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, but also share what he wants us to do. Okay? And here's what I suggest. If you've never gone through the act of holy baptism with water, come up and do it. You know, what a blessing that would be to have a baptism in our church. Are you already baptized? Yes. By the way, baptized or cleansed, guess how many times it's in the Bible? Take a guess, somebody. 165, I heard 100. How many? You're close. 300. Just a little bit over 300 times. If the Bible says it 300 times, do you think it's important? Okay. Well, the other one is real big, a circumcision, but we won't go into that one. We got the point, so to speak. Hang on. Do I understand all of this? No. I'm a human being, and my reason gets in the way, too. But as a called and ordained servant of the Word, recognize that? My responsibility is to teach the Word of God. And that's what I'm doing. But in the end, what it is teaching the salvation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who did all on the cross for us 2,000 years ago. And if it was important enough to Jesus to do that baptism, was it important enough for us? Wasn't he already baptized?
Yes.
But he still went through it, didn't he? Okay. You see why I do things the way I do? Is it wrong? If I offended you, I'm sorry. All I'm doing is preaching the Word. That's what you wanted me to do. That's what you called me here for. Got to turn the page. Let us pray. Lord, create in us that clean heart and renew that right spirit in me that we receive in our baptism. Thank you, Lord, for this graceful sacrament. Amen.